Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word.
Welcome to the Gospel Call with Reverend Confix Makarira. The Gospel Call is a radio ministry of Christ Presbyterian Church. Our mission is to proclaim the gospel with the goal of calling unbelievers to faith in Christ and help believers to be rooted and grounded in God's word. Reverend Confix Makarira is a pastor of Christ Presbyterian Church in Blanta. May the Lord bless you as you hear God's word this evening.
All right, you may be seated. Thank you. Yeah, for those worshiping with us for the first time, once again, you are very welcome. We are glad that you are here. And here at Christ Presbyterian Church, we believe in what is called expository preaching. And basically what that means is that we go through the books of the Bible. We come to a passage, we read it, we explain it, we seek what is the main idea of this passage, we explain it, and we apply it to our own lives. And in relation to that, we do what is called lectio continua, and basically what that means is a Latin word for going through the books of the Bible, one book after another, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And currently as a church, we are going through the book of Genesis, and this morning we come to Genesis chapter number 6. So please stand with me there. Genesis chapter number 6, we are going to read from verses 1 up to verse 21. The word of the Lord. When man began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives any they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for his flesh, his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of man and they bore children to them. These were mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 30 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to the cubit above, and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I'll bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, or the birds according to their kinds, or the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind. Two of every sort shall come in to you to keep them alive. Also, take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. All men are like grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we now come to your word. Thank you for the gift of your word. And thank you that, Lord, you can use a weaker vessel like myself to bring this precious word to your people. Please, Lord, open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, that we might see and hear and receive what you have prepared for us in your word. Speak, O Lord, your servants hear. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Jesus Christ, in describing what we see in Genesis chapter number 6, uses the phrase, in the days of Noah. And this is what Jesus Christ says in Matthew 24, verse 37. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. The days of Noah were very difficult years. Years that saw sin increasing to the unspeakable depth and height. The days of Noah were the days that grieved the heart of God so much that he had to pour his judgment upon the entire human race. But also, in the days of Noah, God showed mercy, amazing grace, by saving Noah and his family. We see all these in the chapter that we have read. So this morning, with God's help, I would like us to reflect on our passage under the title, In the Days of Noah. In the Days of Noah. And we are going to look at 3 points, total depravity, total judgment, and total grace. But looking at time, I don't think we'll be able to look at all these 3 points. So this will be part one of our message. And we're going to look at the first point, total depravity. And Lord willing, we'll continue the remaining 2 points next Sunday. So here, as we look at this passage, the first thing that we see is total depravity. And we see that in verses 1 to 6, and then verses 11 up to 12. We are going to read these verses as we go along. Now, this term, total depravity, is a theological term and sometimes can be misunderstood. Total depravity does not mean that people are as evil as they can be and cannot do anything good, humanly speaking. That's not what it means. It does not mean that all people are murderers, thieves, adulterers, liars, you name it. That's not what it means. We know that we have some good, quote-unquote, good people who do not murder, who do not steal, who do not tell lies. Rather, what it means is that all people are incapable of doing any spiritual good. That man on his own, without the intervention of God, will always gravitate toward evil. Man without God, if you give him this is good, this is evil, choose. Man without God will always choose evil. That's how depraved he is. He doesn't have the ability to choose what is good unless the Lord intervenes. When I was in Bible college studying the doctrine of man, my professor often used to ask us this question, is man basically good or evil? And as a good student of the Bible, you know the answer. According to God's word, man is basically evil. That's you, that's me. We are basically evil. And we see that even in our passage, as we have read. You look at verse 5 of Genesis 6. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention or the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Not just once, but continually. His thoughts and intentions were evil. Again, that's you and me. And as we look at the depravity of man here, we see that Moses is pointing out to 3 main areas of this depravity. The first area that he's highlighting is sinful marriage relationships. The depravity of man was seen in sinful marriage relationship, and we see that in verses 1 up to verse 4. Let's read together as we look there. When man began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives any they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for his flesh, his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. So here we see the depravity of man in the choice of the marriage relationships that he's involved in. Now, here, as you come here, you find that phrase, the sons of God and the daughters of man. Who are these? Who are these sons of God and who are these daughters of man? Well, there are three main views regarding this. The first interpretation says, well, you remember the two lines. We have a godly line of Seth and an godly line of Cain. And the sons of God represent the godly line of Seth, while the daughters of man represent the ungodly line of Cain. That's the first interpretation. The second interpretation says, no, these are fallen angels. These are fallen angels who intermarried with human beings. The third view says, well, no, these are the sons of God, are kings or princesses or noble people who married with regular citizens. Now, that interpretation comes from Samuel 2, in which kings are called gods. And so they say, well, here, these sons of God were the kings or princesses. And those who argue that this represents fallen angels are based on Psalm 29 and Job 1, verse 6, in which the angels and Satan, as he appearing before God, is called the sons of God as they appear there. But I'm very persuaded that this represents, really, when we talk about the sons of God here and the daughters of man, I believe that the sons of God represent the godly line of Seth, and the daughters of man represent the ungodly line of Cain. There was intermarriage of believers and unbelievers, godly people and ungodly people. I don't believe that these are angels, because as Jesus Christ tells us, in Matthew 22, verse 29 and 30, angels do not marry, so they can't marry human beings. But also, I don't believe that these are kings, because while kings are called gods with a small g, they are not anywhere in the Bible called the sons of God. They are called gods, but not the sons of God. So most likely here, we see that the sons of God were the descendants of Seth, and the daughters of man were the descendants of Cain. One godly line, one line of believers, and another line of unbelievers. And the believers, the men were believers, saw the beauty of the women who were unbelievers, and they entered into marriage with them. And these marriages were sinful, because as we see here, they corrupted man even more. And don't we see that in the Bible? That believers are called to marry only in the Lord, as Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 7. Apostle Paul also in 1 Corinthians 6:14 tells us, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Believers are always to marry in the Lord. However, here, the men of godly line of Seth were attracted to the beauty of ungodly women. Now, young people, you who are not married yet, this is very important for you. Do not date or be in a courtship with a man if you're a woman, or with a woman if you're a man who is not a believer. Do not do it. No matter how beautiful, attractive, popular, or successful they are, don't do it. Now, being attracted to beauty is not wrong. It's not sinful. And I believe every man married their wife because they are convinced that their wife is beautiful. So we are not saying, well, look for someone who is not beautiful. Look for someone who is beautiful. But do not disregard their standing with the Lord for the sake of beauty. Do not do it. It doesn't end well. You see here, you see that these marriages between godly people and ungodly people corrupted the godly people. And God regrets that he created man. Don't deceive yourself. I'll convert him or her when we get married. Because it doesn't happen. You know why? Because you don't have the power to convert a person. It's the Lord who converts a person. And the Lord who converts a person has already told you, if you are marrying, you should marry in the Lord. You should look for someone who is a believer. The Lord has never said, look for someone who is an unbeliever, bring them in, and we work together, we convert them. The Lord doesn't say that. It doesn't end well, and here we see that. Now, the result of these sinful marriages were that the ungodly women were pulling the men away from the Lord. And later on in the Bible, we also see the same about Solomon, don't we? He married ungodly women. Solomon, who knew the Lord, married ungodly women. And in 1 Kings verses 1 to 6, we have a very sad commentary, and it goes, now King Solomon loved many foreign women. When Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not wholly follow the Lord as David his father had done. Why did Solomon not follow the Lord? The wives that he married, they were not believers, and they drew his heart away from the Lord. Young people, again, marry in the Lord. Marriage union to unbelievers lead to sin and more sin. My professor, Dr. Joe Bick, puts it well. Never choose physical beauty at the expense of godly piety. And that is very true, young men. Now, two more things in this verse, in these verses that we have read, before we move to the next point. In verse 3, we read about 120 years of man, and we read, then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for his flesh, his day shall be 120 years. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that now from this point, the Lord is reducing the years of man to 120 years? You find that that is not the case, because Noah is going to live 950 years. Then Abraham is going to live 105 years, and Isaac 180 years, and Jacob 147 years. So I don't believe that this means that now God is reducing the years of man. But I believe what the Lord is saying here, from this time as the Lord is making this judgment, to the time that the flood will come, it will be 120 years, in which God is preparing to pour his judgment upon man. But so here we read about the Nephilims who were there in the land. These were giants, tall people that were born at that time. And later on we read about them in Numbers 13, verse 33. They were giants. And when the Israelites went to spy the land of Canaan, they said, we are looking like grasshoppers. These were tall people. They were born. Some of them were already there, but some of them were born as the godly people married with ungodly people. So the total depravity of man was seen in the choice of his marriage relationships. Second, we see that the total depravity of man is seen in his sinful will. Sinful will. We see that in verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The depravity of man also extends to his will. But even after the flood, we are no better, are we? Our wills are also corrupted by sin. Given evil and good, you and me, we will always choose evil because our will has been corrupted by sin. And you know, friends, we often underrate the truth. This truth, we often underrate it. and think that man is free to choose God or not to choose God. But the truth is, you and me cannot choose God. We cannot in our sinful state. The only way that a sinful man like you and me will choose God is when God intervenes, works in my heart, and grants me the desire for God. Naturally, I'm always running away from God as fast as I can. Naturally, I'm always rebelling against God because I don't like God. He's good. I am evil. We are worlds apart. So man is not basically good. Man is basically evil. Man, without the restraining grace of God, is capable of the worst evil that we can never imagine. And we should thank God for his restraining grace. Because what is restraining us from getting as worse as we can be is because of his grace. Restraining us. And this truth of our sinful will means that we should not be shocked so much by sin we see in the world. We should be sad, yes. We should weep because of sin, yes. But not much shocked, because our heart is desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. Just before preparing this sermon, I was reading online of a young man who killed his own mother just last week over a petty disagreement, a small disagreement. And he rises and kills his mother in California. Imagine it. But that's how desperately wicked our heart is. We might not kill our mothers, but if we are to be honest, what goes in our mind and hearts? What goes in there? Just imagine with me for a second. If every thought of your mind from the day you were born to this day was recorded in a book, how many of us would be willing to make this book public? How many of us would say, well, I donate that book to the public library, everyone should read that? I doubt if there would be any. But that just shows us how depraved our will and mind is. It's depraved. The depravity of man did not only affect his marriage relationship and his will also, but also, you see third here, the depravity affected his actions. His actions as well. And we see that in verses 11 and 12. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on earth. Not just the will, but even the actions. Violence on earth. The earth was filled with violence. All flesh had corrupted their way on earth, says Moses. Again, you would think that after Noah's flood, man would be better, right? But not so. Not so. Total depravity is real. Violence is still here today. Total depravity is real, and you can see it from birth to death. David, writing in Psalm 51, says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." From the day I was conceived to the day that I would die, total depravity. But also you can see total depravity from head to toe. Paul, writing in Romans 7 verse 18, says, "I know that nothing good dwells in me." Nothing good dwells in me. I know that. But also you can see total depravity from north to south, east to west. David, again writing in Psalm 53, verse 3, says, "They have all fallen away. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one." And Apostle Paul puts it well again, Romans 3, "There is no one who is righteous, no, not one." That's us. The Bible is very clear. Not a single person righteous. Totally depraved from head to toe. Depraved from birth to death. That's you. That's me. But the good news is that there is a surgeon. who is able to transplant this evil heart with a good one. God the Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ, is in the business of changing hearts. Hear what he says in Ezekiel 36, verses 26, 27. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from you and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Only God can change a depraved heart. Only God can do that. Only God can give us a heart of flesh. We are born with a heart of stone. And the surgeon, God himself, says, I can do it through my Son. I can take that heart out and give you a new heart, a heart of flesh. Only God can do it. And I know that some of us here this morning, we used to have a heart of stone, but the Lord gave us a heart of flesh. Now we have a heart of flesh. But I also know some, you are here this morning, you still have this heart of stone. You still have it. But God is calling you. He's able. He's the chief surgeon. He has a heart of flesh ready for you. He says he is a heart of flesh. Will you come so that I take that heart of stone and you receive this heart of flesh? Paul puts it well. 1 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The depravity has been taken away. Righteousness has been given. He has given us his righteousness. Now to you, my friend, with a heart of stone, will you come to Christ for a new heart? Will you come to Christ for a new heart? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. Very humbling, O Lord, to see how depraved we are from birth to death, from head to toe, east or west, north or south. But thank you for Jesus Christ, who makes all things new, who is able to take this heart of stone and give us the heart of flesh. We pray for that heart. Pray especially for those that have not this heart yet. Be merciful to them, O Lord, and may it please you to grant it to them. And for those, Lord, who have received this heart, help us to be thankful for the great miracle and the great salvation that you've done to our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Speak, O Lord. Thank you for listening to The Gospel Call with Reverend Confix Makarira, a radio ministry of Christ Presbyterian Church. If you have any questions regarding what you have heard in this program, or you would like to hear more about the gospel of Jesus Christ, or attend our church, please contact us at The Gospel Call, P.O. Box 2153, Blantyre, or visit our website, www.christchurchmalawi.org. May the Holy Spirit continue to speak and apply God's word to your life. In the rocks of-